Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're beginning the last Sefer in Tanakh, Divrei Hayomim Beis, the second book of Divrei Hayomim. This Sefer has 36 prakim, and we're going to be starting at the beginning, but really it is actually one continuum from Divrei Hayomim Aleph. In fact, this is obvious if you look at the last pasuk in Divrei Hayomim Aleph. It is clear that it is meant to be a continuation into Divrei Hayomim Beis. Divrei Hayomim Aleph ends with the death of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech ascending the throne, taking the place of his father and becoming very successful. The Divrei Hayomim Beis begins with the pasuk Vayischazek Shlomo ben David. Shlomo HaMelech, become the son of David, becomes very strengthened al malchusoy, over his kingdom. Vashem Elokov imoy, God was with him, Vayigadleu lemala, and Hashem brought him up very high. So let's look at our perek as a whole. Our perek consists of 18 psukim, and the parallel parashios which can be found in Sefer Melachim are Melachim Aleph, Prakim Beis and Gimel, and a little bit of the end of perek Yud and somewhat of perek Hay in Melachim Aleph. So the first part of our perek is about Shlomo Melech's power and wisdom. The second part is about his power as it is expressed through his horses. The first pasuk, as we saw, describes how he is vayischazek. He strengthens himself in his position. What does that mean? The Ralbag explains that this refers to how he was able to overcome any potential enemies. Examples being is that the people he got rid of in Melachim Aleph Perek Beis, and those are Yoav, who in a certain sense defected from David to a certain degree, Adonia, who tried to take the throne, and Shimi ben Gera, who David HaMelech commanded Shlomo to take care of. So any potential dissidents are now being ruled out by Yischazek Shlomo, and in that word of him strengthening himself is hinted the omitted section in Melachim Aleph Perek Beis about getting rid of those enemies. Now, what's the first action that Shlomo Melech does? We hear now from Sukkim Beis to Yud Gimel his first action. Vayomesh Shlomo. Shlomo Melech says to all the people, he says to all the officers, doesn't tell us what he says, but is clear from the next pasuk that it means Vayelchul Shlomo v'kol ha'kal imoy labamo asher begivon, that he takes everybody with him to Givon. So perhaps his words were actions, and he goes off and everybody follows him to the Bama in Givon. This is the large altar in Givon. And the Pesukim explain, what is this referring to? Is that when the Mishkan was created in the Midbar by Moshe Rabbeinu, with the help of Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, with the creation of the Mikdash, the Mishkan, there was this copper altar, the Mizbeach, which came with when they went into Israel and was settled in the Mishkan and Shiloh. When the Mishkan and Shiloh was destroyed, that's where it was placed in Givon after a brief period in Nov. It now belongs in Givon, but the Aaron, the Ark of the Covenant, is still in Yerushalayim, as David HaMelech brought it to Jerusalem. So that Shlomo HaMelech goes there, Vayidrashu Shlomo Vakahal, and they searched out God, Shlomo HaMelech and the community. And how do they do this? They brought 1,000 offerings, burnt offerings on the Mizbeach. Rabbanel says this could have been a one time, or could have been over a period of time of meditation that he spent there. After that, he receives Balayla Ahu. That night, he has this dream. And in this vision of a dream, one of the four episodes that Shlomo HaMelech has a direct communication with Hashem, large debate in the Meforshim, the Mor Nevuchim, many of the Meforshim who debate, and is Shlomo HaMelech a Navi, or does he only have Ruach HaKodesh at episodes? But nonetheless, this is his first direct communication with HaKodesh Baruch Hu. And Hashem turns to him and says, Shlomo says to Hashem, Hashem asks him, what do you want? Mo etein lach. And Shlomo HaMelech says, you allowed me to become the king. You put me in the place of David HaMelech. Now, please, what he asks for is, he says, please give me chokhmah umada. Give me wisdom, perspective, because how will I judge the people without it? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so impressed by this, and he says, you didn't ask for riches or honor or killing your enemies, so you didn't ask for longevity, so you know, I'm going to give it all to you because you asked for wisdom. And it describes how Shlomo HaMelech woke up the next morning and he returned to Yerushalayim and ruled over all of Israel. One note just to be aware of is that the marriage to Bas Paro is not mentioned here, as is mentioned in Sefer Melachim. There's a number of omitted sections. Now, A few basic questions. What was the purpose of going to Giv'on now? So if you look in Sefer Melachim, Paragimel, where this parallel episode exists, it is a follow-on of the following sentence. Vayehav Shlomo es Hashem lo leches b'chukos David Aviv. He loved Hashem dearly to go in the ways of David his father. And that's why he went to Giv'on. So it's seen as an expression of his love of Hashem. How so? Rav Yehuda Kiel, in his commentary, the Da'at Mikra, explains that in the same way that David HaMelech brought the Aaron from Kiryat Yarim to Yerushalayim, this is Shlomo HaMelech symbolically escorting the Mizbeach to Yerushalayim, where he's about to make the Beis HaMikdash. Also, what it does is, before going to the future, he connects to the past, to the Mishkan, which is going to be the bastion of the past, going into the bastion of the future, which is the Mikdash. That's why this connection is important. Why Giv'on? It's interesting to notice that there are two nodes. There is the Aaron, and then there is the Mizbeach. The Aaron is Hashem's emanation on this earth. The Mizbeach is our emanation upwards to sacrifice to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's interesting that David HaMelech's focus is the Aaron, and Shlomo HaMelech's focus is the Mizbeach. And it's almost as if we need both David and Shlomo, both the Aaron and the Mizbeach, to be merged in order to create the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what we see happening over here in this. There's a very beautiful essay, Rav Yigal Ariel has the Mikdash Melech, where he talks about the importance of both the heart and the mind, the Aaron and the Mizbeach, the going upwards and the coming downwards, in order to be able to create the Beis HaMikdash. What was Shlomo HaMelech's attitude to Chochmah? He asks for wisdom, but if you read Shlomo HaMelech's other Svarim, he writes Koheles, and there he seems a little more ambivalent about Chochmah. He describes how he tried to get riches, he tried to get wisdom, and all of these things were hevel, all of these things were vain and unimportant. So how is it that this is so important? Is it at the end of the day he felt that this request was not relevant or not good? So it's interesting, the Midrash in Mishlei at the very beginning says, you know what? What does it mean that that he was called Melech Yisrael? It says, The Midrash says, everything he did was in honor of Israel. Shlomo HaMelech was not asking for wisdom. Shlomo HaMelech was asking to judge the people. Hashem, please give me the wherewithal to judge your people. Hashem says, you want to look after my people? I'll give you everything you need. Shlomo HaMelech was not saying that wisdom is an ends in and of itself. Shlomo HaMelech was saying that wisdom is a means to be able to judge your people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciated that. And if you read the Psukim carefully, that's clearly what he's asking for. He wasn't asking because he wanted to be able to publish the greatest theses in all of human history. It wasn't because he wanted to be able to have his name engraved on the large cornerstone of the Library of Congress. What he was trying to do was, let me serve you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We turn to the last section of our parak, which is Psukim Yud Dalet to Yud Ches, and we hear a little bit about Shlomo HaMelech's power in that he gathers a huge amount of horses. We hear about 4,000 arba me'os rechev, 1,400 chariots and 12,000 parashim. We hear about this large amassing of cavalry, which he puts together. And we hear about how really there's so much riches, that there's the gold and the silver in Yerushalayim are like stones, and the arazin, the cedars, it's just everywhere, because of like the sycamores, because there's so many of them around. It's always a time of great financial success. And we hear about how he buys the horses from Egypt. And Shlomo HaMelech now decides at this point, at this very apex of power and wisdom, to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's how the perek ends. Just a couple questions. Was it good or bad about the horses? So we know that in Sefer Devarim, in Perek Yud Zayin, there are a number of conditions to a king. One is, Rak lo yarbe lo susim, do not increase horses, lo yashive sa'am mitzrayim, not to bring the people back to Egypt, which is what ultimately Shlomo HaMelech did do. What is the parameters of that mitzvah? So the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvah says that he's allowed to have military horses for utility, but he's not able to have personal horses for grandeur. The Ramban says no, he's not allowed to have any horses whatsoever. He should trust completely in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whichever way it is, lahalacha, Shlomo HaMelech overstepped that boundary and decided to go for the horses, whether it be starting for military or beyond that. And ultimately, this became one of those transgressions which ultimately led him in a negative direction, unfortunately. The Gemara in Sanhedrin famously says, Ani arbe, I will increase my horses, but I won't go down to Mitzrayim, and that doesn't work. When you start philosophizing as what the Torah really meant, that doesn't work here. It may start as with good intent, but ultimately the Torah understands the human psychology better than the human being themselves. And finally, the last, just this image of all this gold and silver and stones in the streets of Jerusalem, obviously we talk about a great economy now, and if you read Sefer Melachim, you hear about all the trade in the Middle East with Israel. But there's another aspect of here, and this is the words of the Abarbanel as he introduces Melachim Beis. He says there's really three primary main ingredients to the Beis HaMikdash: stone, wood, and gold, like the gold, silver, the metals. So he points out that each of them are a metaphor for the three first kings of Israel upon whose shoulders the Mikdash was built. First are the stones, that's like Shaul HaMelech, strong, resolute, unadorned by grandeur and pride. Then there's wood, which is David HaMelech, tall, long-lasting, and also is organic and is able to produce followers, produce a legacy, children who will follow in his ways. And finally, gold, Shlomo HaMelech, his riches, his grandeur, making the Mikdash all the beauty that it was inside and outside. And the Abarbanel points out the gold was attached to the wood and not to the stone. In other words, the wood had gold leaf, but not the stone, because Shlomo HaMelech, the gold, was attached to the wood, David HaMelech, but not to the stones itself. And it was upon these three shoulders that the base Midrash was built, and perhaps that's why the Perek is emphasizing these materials specifically in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. This closes our Perek. We are going to move on to Perek Beis tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.